It's my turn now to share God's word with you this morning. Begin with this question and thought that in our image-saturated society, it is easy to judge people and situations based on appearance. But do we really know the truth? And do we really see the heart? In 1962, a book came out called The Image, Pseudo, like fake or semi-true, pseudo events in America. And it's a book by Daniel J. Boorstin. 1962. And in the book, he talks about the rise of celebrities based on image and appearance over heroes, meaning people who accomplish something great. Celebrities rise, heroes going down. Same time, he talked about the rise of appearance and image dominating things over and above truth and reality, based on truth and reality. The rise of the image, and of course, 1962, this was a few years before Instagram and social media, and all of the images we're saturated by today through the computer and internet and on our smartphones and all that. Back then, it was basically TV and pictures in magazines and newspapers. That's what he was talking about. Well, this seems like more and more this is what's happening, right? But is this actually a new or recent phenomenon? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 says, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. So we're going to go back 2,000 over 3,000 years ago to about 1025 BC and look at a couple of chapters in the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17, and see that this actually isn't new. Even back then, before photography, before people had captured images like that, people were judging based on appearances rather than the truth or the heart of a situation. So we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting at verse 1. It says, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. That's King Saul. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons that you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. God had anointed Saul as the first king of Israel when the people of Israel said, "We want a king like all the other nations have." But later, God rejected Saul as king. We read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 13. In short, Saul was told to wait for Samuel, and Samuel was going to come and provide as priest a burnt offering. 7 days went by. Saul got impatient. He decided, "I'll just do the burnt offering on my own." When Samuel arrived, he said, "What have you done? You have not kept the command of the Lord your God. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time, but now your kingdom, Saul, will not endure." And Samuel said, "The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." That was in 1 Samuel 13. Time went by, and Samuel actually mourned that God was rejecting Saul. He was grieved. He was sad. But he had prophesied that God would seek a man after his own heart. And so we come to 1 Samuel chapter 16, and the Lord sends Samuel to Jesse in Bethlehem. I love that God did not tell Samuel the name of the one he was going to anoint. "Just go to Jesse, and one of his sons is the one I have chosen," God says, "to be the next king." So the first son who's brought before him is Eliab. And right away, Samuel sees Eliab. And who does he actually see here? In a sense, he sees another Saul. Saul, earlier in 1 Samuel, had been described as being a head taller than anyone else in Israel. People were impressed with his height. This looks like a man who would be king. Samuel sees Eliab. He sees this tall, good-looking young man. He says, "Surely this is the next king." The Lord says, "He's not the one." The next son comes by, and then the next son comes by, and then the next, and the next. Nope. 7 sons are presented to Samuel. None of them are to be the next king. This brings us to Jesse. He's the father here with all these sons. What did Jesse see? Well, apparently he only saw or considered his first 7 sons, all of them except for the youngest. And he says that, "Well, this is all of them, but there's one more. The youngest is the one who's not here." The Hebrew word for youngest is katan. There's still the katan remaining. Katan can mean young, small, unimportant, least. There's that one still. He's out with the sheep. Well, Samuel says, "Go and bring him in." Now it says Daniel is a healthy, fine, handsome, glowing with health boy, right? But is that what God is looking at? God is saying, "Here he is. Look at how healthy this young man looks." Not at all. When David's brought in, we still don't hear his name yet, but the youngest is brought in, and right away the Lord says to Samuel, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one I have chosen." Then it says he is anointed in the presence of his brothers, the 7 others. And then it says when he is anointed, which is the pouring of oil from that horn of oil from Samuel onto David's head, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, also comes upon him. That's the true anointing here. Holy Spirit comes upon David powerfully, it says. David was a teenager. We're not given his age, but they say he's probably around 15 to 19 years old. He's a teenager. Did Samuel see David's heart? The Lord says, "This is the one you prophesied. I'm going to call a man after my own heart." I don't know if Samuel quite sees it yet, but he's looking and he's hearing the Lord speak to him. Do we see it yet? We see a young 15, 16-year-old boy, healthy, but do we really see what God sees? The rest of chapter 16 in 1 Samuel, we see David brought into the service of King Saul, actually. And when King Saul was distressed or disturbed, he would have David brought in because David could also play the lyre, you know, that handheld harp. David was a skilled musician, and he would play, and King Saul was, he would find peace again, hearing that music. Well, now we come to chapter 17 in 1 Samuel, and here the story picks up. Chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, verses 1 through 11. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. The battle at the Valley of Elah. I should say the battle in quotation marks. Put the bunny ears there, because does this look like any sort of battle going on? By the way, back in 1 Samuel chapter 8, when the people of Israel said they wanted a king over them, they said, "We want a king who will lead us and fight our battles for us." So how is that working out for them here? What did Saul, that is King Saul, and all the army of Israel, what did they see? They saw a giant from Gath named Goliath, a champion, covered head to toe in bronze, right? He was 6 cubits and a span. A cubit is like elbow to tip of the finger and a span. That turns out to be about 9 feet and 9 inches tall. That's impressive. 9 feet, 9 inches. It says his coat of armor weighed 5,000 shekels. That's about 125 pounds. Can you imagine putting 125 pounds just on your body to carry around as his coat of armor? The tip or point of his spear weighed 600 shekels, made of iron. That's about 15 pounds. The tip of his spear, 15 pounds, okay? That's what they saw. We can see that and say, okay, that's a little impressive, intimidating. What did this giant Goliath, what did he see? Well, earlier in 1 Samuel, again, Saul, king of Israel, he was described as being a head taller than anyone else in Israel. Goliath, is he seeing someone a head taller? He's seeing, no, not here. It says Saul and all the army were dismayed and terrified. Dismayed, it means shattered. It means broken. It means undone. We just say someone with a case of the nerves. That's dismayed. Terrified, the Hebrew word is yare. Terrified, a sense of dread and actually reverence. You hear this? Yare can mean they had reverence or awe for this man, Goliath. It's the same word that's used back in Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, what did they do? They went and hid because they were afraid. And the word is yare. They hid because they were afraid of who? God. This word has a sense of godly fear. And this is Saul and the Israelite army. Because of Goliath, they are dismayed and terrified. Now, what did, in this battle of Elah, Saul and the Israelite army, the Philistines, Goliath, his shield bearer, what did apparently none of them see? No one. Or I should say, who did none of them see? God. None of them. Right. No one was seeing God here. Now, as God is seeing them, do you think the Lord sees in any of his people, any of the Israelites' hearts, what he wants to see? No. He doesn't. Why not? What does God want to see when he looks into someone's heart? He wants to see a heart that is seeking him. God wants to see a heart that is looking to him. When God looks into your heart, what does he see? He wants to see your heart already looking right back at him. Four verses here. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul." Deuteronomy 6:5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Where's your focus? Or I should say, your heart reveals what you truly love. If you love something, you are focused on the object of your love. Love the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 8:17, it says, "The Lord says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me." And again, Jeremiah 29:13, "The Lord says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." What does the Lord want to see when he looks in somebody's heart? This brings us to part three. Enter the katan. Remember that? It meant youngest, least, unimportant. Enter the katan, the young shepherd boy. Pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12. Here's a long stretch of reading here. "Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had eight sons, and in Saul's time, Jesse was very old. Jesse's three oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand." This is going on for 40 days in the valley of Elah. "Now Jesse said to his son David, 'Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to the camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines.' Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd. He loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. David reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear." Yahweh. "Now the Israelites had been saying, 'Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel.' David asked the men standing near him, 'What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' They repeated to him what they had been saying, and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at David and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Pause there. The Katan, the youngest, unimportant, least, David, the shepherd, sent by his father Jesse to go check on his brothers, bring some food, bring back a word. When David gets there, 15, 16-year-old David, what does he see? And then he sees, you know, Goliath comes out, does his taunting again. Does David see a giant, formidable, the champion of Gath? Does he flee? No. David sees an uncircumcised Philistine, someone who is an offense, an affront to the living God of Israel. You know, God isn't mentioned in this chapter until verse 26, when David says that. Who is this who defies the armies of the living God? There he is, finally. Everyone else only saw Goliath, not David. Now, what did David's oldest brother, Eliab, see? In verse 28, we get this rant from Eliab towards David. He says, "Why have you come down here, your little brother, Katan? With whom did you leave those sheep? I know how conceited you are," Eliab says to David, "and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." Now, I don't know if he said battle, because there's nothing going on, right? The lions form, then Goliath comes out. 40 days of this. What does Eliab really see? You know, truthfully, I think Eliab saw in his youngest brother David everything that he was not. You know, he calls him conceited and knows his wicked heart. Lord knows David's true heart. What did Saul see, the king of Israel? What did he see? Just at first, you're only a young man, a boy. But then what did the king hear? He heard the heart of a warrior. Not only a warrior, but a warrior who trusts in his God. Now Saul, the king, he wanted to at least dress David for this battle, right? He puts on his own coat of armor and a helmet on him. That didn't work so well. I think this is actually kind of a comical scene when I picture David with the king's armor on trying to walk around. He's like, he can't even move. He's going to go out and fight that giant out there. He says, I can't wear these. So David then prepares himself as only a young shepherd would do. Picking up in verse 40, then David took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. What did David see? What did Goliath see? Little more than a boy. He despised him. He taunts him. You know, I have to think, it doesn't say in here, I'm wondering how much did David weigh? Just picturing him approaching, right? David, 15, 16 years old, he might have weighed about as much as Goliath's coat of armor, plus the tip of his spear, plus his helmet. That'd probably be pretty close to the total weight of David coming out to face him with no armor, right? But what did David see? Actually, who did David see? You can hear it in his words. Jesus will say in the Gospels, what comes out of a person's mouth reveals what's in their heart. David says, "In the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. It is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you all into our hands." Saul and the whole Israelite army, they saw Goliath, and they trembled and fled. David saw God, and he attacked without a sword or a spear, and he triumphed. Well, wait a second. Do you remember the anointing when the Lord said to Samuel, "This is the one, rise and anoint him"? And Samuel took the oil, poured it on David's head, and what else happened? The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. The Spirit of the Lord. So what did David attack with? Whoosh. It was the last thing that Goliath saw. A smooth stone from the stream sailing straight toward his forehead. The Lord says, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. When the Lord looks at your heart, what does he see? Do you see what God sees? Romans 8, chapter 11, I say Romans chapter 8, verse 11, says the same Spirit, this is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that raised Jesus from the dead, which is the same Spirit of God that came upon David powerfully when he was anointed, is the same Spirit that lives within you who believe in Jesus Christ. It's the same Spirit of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it was your Holy Spirit that guided that stone, that gave David strength. It wasn't David, it was you, God. And you saw in his heart his seeking after you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek you. Forgive us for our being so distracted by things of this world, by appearances, by images, other things. Lord, help us to focus on you, to see you, to seek you with all our heart, to hear you in your word, that your Spirit may fill us and empower us, that we may be witnesses for Jesus Christ. It is all about Jesus, God. We thank you for overcoming death through your Son and filling us with your Spirit this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.